Raffles by E.W. Hornung, a series of short stories dramatized for radio by Alwyn Weimark, with Jeremy Clyde as Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. The Raffles Relics.
The cottage on the edge of Ham Common, an idyllic retreat. Sunny rooms at the back overlooking the garden and the common beyond, a comfortable motherly landlady, and autumn walks along the lanes to Ham Cross and Peg's Pond. It was the perfect kind of convalescence for poor old Raffles. He'd virtually starved himself in the last weeks in Earl's Court so as to be convincing in his pretended death. He'd convince me. So all the more wonderful to be rowing him up the Thames now.
Let me take the oars, Bunny. You're blowing like a grampus.
Oh, no, I'm all right. Through there.
I insist. It'll do me good. I'm stronger every day.
And he was. In the weeks we'd been here, due not least to Mrs. Fisher's excellent cooking, my vagabond brother Ralph, as she knew him, had been altogether transformed from the emaciated scarecrow he'd appeared on arrival.
Australia. Can't have got any decent cooking there. Why, it's as thin and pale as a ghost.
It was an eerie word to choose. Raffles was a ghost, twice over. Once years ago, when he'd plunged to his supposed watery grave in the Mediterranean, and this recent funeral, staged in a London cemetery.
Not bad for a corpse, eh, my dear old rabbit? First rate.
It was a happy time, this healthy rural life together, these pleasant, uneventful days. Uneventful until today. For the first time, we'd ventured up to town. And now, hours later, I sat alone, over an almost untouched supper, trying to fight off my terrible anxiety.
Not back yet. You must be worried, Mr. Manchester.
Oh, no, Mrs. Fisher, not really. I expect he's suddenly decided to go to the theatre or something.
Such an impulsive man, Mr. Ralph, isn't he?
Yes. Oh, 9 o'clock.
There. You are worried.
Oh, just a bit cross. He should have told me.
Well, when you think how poorly he's been, nice to think of him out enjoying himself. Oh, now, look at your plate.
Sorry, Mrs. Fisher. Not very hungry tonight.
Oh, never mind. I'll bring you your coffee, shall I? I'll put Mr. Ralph's supper in the warming oven for him.
And she bustled out, leaving me to my horrid imaginings. He could have been arrested. Or perhaps there'd been an accident.
Madness. I told him it was madness.
I don't see why. It'll be an adventure, Bunny.
Don't you realise that A.J. Raffles is dead? And what does it call them in the newspaper? Oh, here we are. Raffles relics now on display. Well, you can't have relics unless you're dead. But why do we have to go and see them? We know what they look like.
Fame, Bunny. Napoleon's relics, Nelson's relics, and now Raffles relics. Won't you allow me to bask in a little glory?
By walking straight into the lion's den? I say again, it is madness.
But my dear rabbit, nobody will recognise me now my hair's gone white. You didn't yourself, remember? And I'll wear my smoked spectacles.
No, it's out of the question. I'm sorry, O.J., but it's absolutely out of the question.
Dull would he be of soul who could pass by a sight so touching in its majesty, eh, Bunny?
Huh?
Good old Wordsworth.
Oh.
Westminster Bridge. There's not a view like it in the world.
Change your mind, Raffles. Why don't we just get ourselves a rattling good lunch, eh? And then we can go to a gallery or a matinee.
We are going to the Black Museum. Or I am. I expect I can get in by myself on this reporter's pass of yours. Well, you cut along to a matinee, old chap, and we'll meet later at the station.
I'm coming with you.
Good. Oh, I say, it's starting to rain. Cab!
Yes, sir.
A new Scotland Yard driver.
Fortunately, we had the museum to ourselves at first, except for our guide, a callow and very talkative young clerk with the tallest collar I'd ever seen and a face as pallid. I stifled my impatience to get this rash escapade over and done with as we followed him solemnly from case to case.
This revolver belonged to Charlie Peace. These are his spectacles. That's his jemmy. And this here knife is the one he killed two policemen with.
One policeman. And he didn't use a knife.
Raffles had administered a vicious little kick to my shin.
At least, that's what I read in the magazine.
When I say he killed two policemen with this knife, I happen to be speaking...
Charlie Peace?
Well, only the most famous burglar in England. Well, till old Raffles came along.
Raffles?
Ain't you never heard of A.J. Raffles?
I can't say I have.
Well, your friend will have done, I dare say. Read about Raffles in one of your magazines, have you?
Cricketer, isn't he?
Not is. Was. And the greatest cracksman ever.
How'd he die?
Drowned years ago. Straight down to Davy Jones's locker.
Did they ever find the body?
Oh, yeah. Found it and buried it. Gibraltar. Or Malta it might have been, I can't recall which. Here. See that picture on the wall? That's him. Lord's Cricket Ground. That's a Sullivan he's smoking. He never smoked anything else.
He looks a rather arrogant sort of fella.
Oh, do you think so?
Yes, I do.
Well, he was stuck on himself, all right. Now, in this case here...
And there they were, the Raffles relics, the tools of our trade. The gimlets and wedges, the rope ladder, the telescope walking stick, the dark lantern, the bunch of skeleton keys, all laid out on top of the enormous oak chest that I remembered only too well.
Yep, that's right. Raffles himself was inside that chest.
No.
He was doubled up right inside it. And that is how he got into the strong room at the bank. The yard never did puzzle that one out till after he was dead and they found the chest in his rooms at the Albany along with the rest of this here collection.
Well, well. And what do you keep inside the chest?
Well, nothing. It's empty. Would you like to know how he got out of it after they carried it into the strong room? The bank manager thought it was packed full of silver plate. It was packed full of Raffles.
And how did he get out?
Ah, well, there's a trapdoor at the top, see? He opens it from the inside, puts his arm through with an extra set of keys from his hand, undoes the lock, and out he pops.
Oh, I see. I would have expected a sliding panel.
Oh, no, 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 nothing like that. Too obvious. Now, here's the clever thing. Next day, his accomplice says the bank ain't safe, and out goes the chest that very afternoon, with all the bank's valuables and Raffles inside it.
An accomplice? Haven't got his picture as well?
Who, old Bunny? Nah, he'd be out of place in here.
Huh?
These are all real criminals. I mean, they put him in the scrubs for a bit after Raffles drowned, but he wasn't what you call the genuine article.
Not what I've heard. Read?
I was trying to control my annoyance when the door at the other end of the room suddenly opened.
This way, gentlemen.
Who are those?
That's Inspector Druce. He's on the Chalk Farm murders. Those other ones is his two witnesses on the case.
I suddenly felt cold. Raffles and I knew Druce by name and reputation only too well.
Quite a run on your Black Museum today. I expect you get a lot of people in, do you?
No, we don't, as a matter of fact. We'll go a week sometimes with nobody coming in here at all. Now, up here in this cupboard are the photograph albums. I expect you'd like to see them. Very strong stuff, some of this is.
Well, really, I think we should be.
Oh, we've time to see some of them, surely.
Right, we've got arsonists, kidnappers, homicides...
It is a bit too hot for us in here, but we mustn't just cut and run, Bunny.
And, of course, child molesters.
Still not back. Dear me, it's nearly 11.
I know.
Where can he be all this time?
Oh, don't worry, Mrs. Fisher. He'll be catching the milk train back from town, you'll see. It's an old trick of his.
Rascal. Well, I've had to give his supper to the cat. It was that dried up. But I've cut a plate of sandwiches, and there's a kettle on the hob. Brandy and hot water and lemon, I'd say, in a night like this.
She went off to her bed and left me sitting by the dying fire. My sense of dread... not unmixed with bitter resentment.
After all we've been through, reckless folly, yes, and vanity too. Brandy and hot water and lemon. Yes.
Now, in this album is pictures of what we call the random homicidal maniacs. That is, the criminals what killed for no reason.
Dreadful-looking faces.
Yeah, the victims this side of the page, murderers opposite, see? This one, Anderson Edwards, his name was. Drake was assistant, if you can believe it. Anyway, he killed three, and no reason for any of them. We call the ones like him sundry, random, homicidal maniacs. But this is blood, this dark beer.
Oh, dreadful. But awfully interesting, don't you think, Ralph? Oh. Yeah, where's he gone? He was here just now.
I was stunned. Where on earth? I said the first thing that came into my head.
He had to catch a train to Doncaster.
Doncaster?
Yes.
Well, he never said nothing.
He's a rather impatient man. Now, did you say that one of these albums is unsolved crime?
The clerk was easily diverted, and in my nervous anxiety to allay any suspicions about Raffles' abrupt departure, I outstayed even Inspector Druce and his friends. Though at one point, they came to examine the Raffles relics, and I heard them discussing us under my very nose.
In fact, my colleague, Inspector Mackenzie, was always convinced that cricketer and cracksman were the same man. Mm. He was right, of course, but his quarry escaped him in the end. They got the accomplice. Well, more of a little errand boy, really. Can't recall his name.
One way or another, I was very glad to leave New Scotland Yard and the Black Museum behind me. I was sure Raffles would be at the station, waiting for me there.
I've given him an hour. He must have already caught a train back, probably wondering what's happened to me.
That was 7 hours ago. A white mist had rolled in off the river. There was nothing I could do now but wait and hope. I poured another brandy.
Good morning, Bunny.
And there he was, sitting in the armchair opposite. It was 5 a.m. He was smiling at me, his eyes dancing. I had a headache.
Fallen asleep in your chair like a dear old dodderer, eh, Bunny?
I did not dignify this with a reply, nor did I get up and fall upon his neck.
Caught the milk train, did you?
Missed it, actually. Had to walk.
All the way from town?
Mm-hmm. From New Scotland Yard.
You went back again? How on earth did you get inside? Oh, for God's sake, Raffles, why?
Well, stand up and look behind you, Bunny, and you'll see why.
Laid out neatly on the sideboard were the Raffles relics, the whole collection. Only the oak chest itself was missing.
Transported tenderly out of the Black Museum under this very greatcoat.
You just walked out?
I did, but not till 3 in the morning, which seemed a discreet enough hour. One of my skeleton keys might have been made for the museum door.
But how did you get in?
I never went out. In the museum, the whole blessed time.
Hiding? But where? Where?
Oh, Bunny. In the chest.
The chest?
Where else? I slipped in while you were poring over those gory pictures.
No, impossible. Not possible, Raffles. These things were still on the lid of the chest after you disappeared. I watched Druce show them to his friends.
And I heard him. From inside the chest.
But nothing on the top of it had been moved at any point, I'll swear to that.
Do you remember my asking that clerk if there was anything inside it?
Yes,
but... One had to make sure it was empty, you see. And do you remember my wondering out loud if there was a sliding panel?
Yeah. Yes, and the clerk said there wasn't, and I know myself there wasn't. I watched you get into it and out of it, remember? By opening the lid, there was no sliding panel.
Not then. But a few months later, it occurred to me that it might be handy if there was. So I took it to a fellow in Bloomsbury and told him I was a conjurer. And now you push one of the handles down and the whole of that end opens up like a doll's house.
I was silent. I looked at the gimlets and wedges, the rope ladder, the walking stick, the famous Raffles relics. Then I looked at Raffles himself.
So for a sentimental fancy, you risk discovery, capture, imprisonment...
Sentimental, Bunny? Now, practical. It's high time you and I got to work again, and how can we manage without these?
Oh,
don't worry. It'll be a good while before they discover they're gone. I replace them with similar objects from other cases. All inferior, of course, but that smug little clerk won't notice the difference. And he did say weeks went by without anyone coming in.
Yes.
Well... Aren't you pleased to see our faithful little friends back again, my dear old rabbit? Oh, and I've had another notion. Bicycles.
Bicycles? Why bicycles?
Oh, why not? Little fresh air, healthy exercise.
No,
Another slice of plum bread, Mr. Ralph.
No, thanks, Mrs. Fisher. I couldn't.
You will, Mr. Manchester.
I will. Delicious.
You went off on your bicycles in the wrong direction last night, didn't you?
Wrong direction?
You haven't seen the evening paper, then?
No, we haven't.
Well, there's been another robbery last night, just as you guessed there might be. But it wasn't Kingston Way. East Mosey.
East Mosey?
That was the autumn when there was such a surprising number of burglaries in the Thames Valley.
We were, of course.
No cufflinks and a canteen of solid silver cutlery. That's what he got away with this time.
Oh, dear me.
The police are sure now that it's always the same man, just as you thought, Mr. Ralph.
Well, the evidence did seem to point that way.
Well, you're never going to get that reward at this rate, are you? Always off in the wrong direction.
Well, we haven't seemed to get very close yet.
As a matter of fact, we're going to have another try tonight.
Are we?
Tonight? But he's never done more than one in a week.
Exactly. So they wouldn't be ready for him if he did.
Oh, yes, I see. But there's a fog coming down, you know.
Perfect burglar weather, Mrs. Fisher. We'll have supper late again, if we may. We won't want to set out until about 10.
Right you are, Mr. Ralph.
So, what do you think, Bunny? The stockbroker's mock Georgian in Thames, didn't, or that Tudor monstrosity in Surbiton?
You're quite set on tonight.
I am. So, which one?
I vote for Thamesdidden, then. He looked a particularly prosperous type to me.
Yes, but why do you suppose he lives next to a boys' boarding school? Must be very noisy. Still, it's your turn to choose, Bunny, so Thamesdidden it shall be.
We'd spent that whole day, as we often did, on reconnaissance. Raffles invariably sailing off ahead on his Beeston Humber racer. A Royal Sunbeam was good enough for me. Excellent staying power on hills. The school, in fact, seemed quite an exclusive establishment, run by a retired army colonel, according to the plate on the gatepost. At any rate, the two houses were well back from the road, each with its shrubbery and circular drive.
There's the house, Bunny.
I can't see a thing in this fog. Oh, wait. Yes, I see it.
No lights on. Good. Left here. We'll leave the bikes here in the shrubbery. Dark lantern?
Got it. No need for our masks, is there?
Yes, there is. Always, Bunny.
Oh.
Here, put it on.
It seemed to me unnecessary, but I did as I was told.
We'll go round the back. There's bound to be a pantry window.
There was. And as we so often found, although it was barred, it was not locked, and the bars merely screwed into the sill. Raffles' penknife made short work of them, and with the same knife he carefully and patiently cut out the corner of one of the panels of the locked pantry door.
Should do it. That's it. Now then, Bunny, victory or wormwood scrubs.
It had always been his motto. He smiled at me and slid his hand and wrist through the opening. The smile died on his lips.
Got him! I'm caught, Bunny!
What?
Someone's got my hand! It's the wrong house, Bunny!
The school next door. And the boys having some kind of midnight feast in the dark. I curse the fog.
Get out while you can, Bunny! Never mind me, it's my turn, old chap.
Get out? His turn? I got out. The boys' excited voices died away behind me. No, it was my turn. Mine, not his. Whatever Raffles would have done in my place was the thing for me to do now. But what was the thing? I found myself knocking loudly on the front door. I'd forgotten I had that vile crepe mask on my face, and had just time to tear it off before the door flew open. Three boys staring at me. A moment's utter panic. Then inspiration struck.
He's gone into the next garden.
What?
Who?
What do you mean?
Who are you?
Some fellows just come out through your window at the back, head first. Thought it must be a thief.
Two of them.
Oh, shh, you'll wake the colonel.
What is it? What's happening?
Don't let go, Beefy.
What's all that?
We've got one of them in the kitchen.
Good God, what's this?
Grabbed his hand when he put it through that hole, didn't you, Beefy?
He was trying to reach the key.
Well done. Now, if you're quick, you can get the other one, too.
Other one?
He saw somebody diving out the back window.
Well, come on,
let's get him.
Don't all desert me.
We must catch them both, Beefy.
Look here, I'll stay with him. I've got a friend outside. I'll get him, too.
Oh, well done,
sir. Very well.
Right, thank you very much, sir. All right, coming, sir. Wait for me.
Catch up, Arthur.
Catch Congratulations. Beefy, is it?
Yes.
Got him tight, have you?
Tight as I can. He's pulling hard.
Let me relieve you.
No, thanks.
Oh, you could do with a break, surely. I'll take over.
No, I'm all right. I can manage.
I don't think you can, you know.
And I had him round the neck with both hands. Oh, I'm not proud of it. It was a vile act, but I wasn't going to see Raffles taken. I squeezed hard, till first one of Beefy's hands and then the other gave way, and I saw Raffles' pinched white fingers reaching upward and turning the key.
Let him breathe, Bunny. I've got chloroform here. Give me your scarf.
He cracked open a tiny vial, put a few drops on my scarf, and pressed it to Beefy's purple face. In a moment, the plucky fellow was snoring gently, and we lifted him into the pantry and locked the door, then made swiftly for the front door and freedom. We got as far as the hall.
Who's that?
The voice came from behind us. I had just time to tear the infernal mask from Raffles' face before we turned round. A stout man with a blonde moustache, dressed in pyjamas, stood on the stairs.
There's been an attempt made on your house by thieves, sir. Your boys have given chase.
What? What's that? Thieves? Which way did the boys... And what are you two doing here?
We were cycling past. We saw one of the villains escaping from the back window.
And why was I not called? I should have been called.
They think there are two thieves, sir. Perhaps you should search the house.
Good idea, yes. One of you come with me. And you go and notify the police.
Well, sir.
Come along. We'll start with the studies.
Best if we separate. I'll do the kitchen and scullery.
Don't agree. Safer to stick together. This way. Well, what are you waiting for? The police. Quickly.
Right.
He headed briskly for the front door, giving me an almost imperceptible wink. He would wait outside for me. But what was I to do? Must I attempt to strangle the colonel, too? He was clearly much stronger than I. And besides, he had almost no neck.
Are you coming or aren't you?
He got away.
We couldn't find him anywhere. We went all the way down the... Sir.
Just what the devil do you boys
think?
We had
burglars, sir.
We were trying to catch him, sir.
Very stupid of you. You should have called me immediately.
There's another one, sir. We've got him back there.
What? You two didn't say anything
about... Beefy's got him, sir.
Where?
In the kitchen.
Beefy, we're coming.
Coming, sir.
We'll go for the police.
You'll stay here.
He's not here.
Where's he gone?
What's happening?
Beefy's gone.
Gone? What's this? Quickly, here. You two follow me.
No.
He was right here, sir. He had the thief by the hand.
Through this hole.
Where is he? Beefy?
What's that funny smell? You were staying with him.
Yes, you were with
what
him.
What happened?
Where is he?
You were with him, eh? Well, where is he?
If only I knew. I just went out to get my friend here, and when we came back, things were just as you see them now.
Well, the man's strength must have been too much for the boy.
Beefy would never let go.
But he must have. He's gone.
I wanted to take his place, but he wouldn't let me.
Well, where is he?
Gone after the fellow, must have.
But this door's locked. We'll have to break it down.
One moment.
Yes?
We don't want to miss any of the fun, but we've left our bikes outside and mine's a Beast and Humber. We don't want them stolen. We'll just go and bring them inside.
As he spoke, he turned and strode out. I followed at once. Out the front door and into the drive.
Look at the boys!
Yeah! It gave us just the precious seconds we needed. We had thrown ourselves onto our bikes when we heard a scream.
Beefy! He's dead!
No, he's not. Chloroform. After those men, boys! After them!
I was in the lead, and in the confusion, I turned left out of the drive by mistake. Not down Geek's Hill, but up it.
Oh, my God, I'm going the wrong way.
Just keep pedalling. Pedal for your life.
That's the way, boys! After!
Oh, do you think I let you in for this?
I wouldn't have missed it for the world. On, Bunny, on! They're catching up.
I've got one!
Oh, no, you haven't. Watch out, Bunny!
He executed a jackknife swerve, just missing me and dislodging the boy who had seized his rear mudguard.
Up, boy! Get up! Get down!
Hey, William!
All right! I'll go on, Raffles.
It's all right, Bunny. We're at the top. Oh, and down we go.
An hour later, we were letting ourselves into our little sitting room.
Oh, by all my gods, Bunny, it's been the most sporting night we ever had in our lives.
Huh?
And do you know which was the most sporting part of it?
Oh, that uphill ride.
Oh, it came long before that, you sinner, and you know it. Oh, we must have a toast. Oh, but first let's get these stowed away.
He put all the tools of our nefarious trade that we'd taken with us and locked them, as always, into the bottom drawer of the big desk. Then he got out the whiskey and the glasses.
To the apotheosis of Bunny, the man of the hour.
Me, Raffles?
Oh, who but you got us out of that tightest of tight spots?
I hardly knew what I was doing or saying. It was just a fluke, really.
Your performance tonight, your quick-wittedness, your brilliant improvising. Oh, if that was a fluke, my dear old rabbit, then it was the kind I always trusted you to make when the runs were wanted. To you. And you were absolutely right about the masks. We won't use them again. Have you got yours?
In my pocket. I'll chuck it on the fire, shall
I? No. Give it to me.
He took it to the desk and unlocked the bottom drawer.
We've got the Raffles relics, but this is the first item in a new collection. The Bunny Manders relics.
Oh, Raffles.
In The Raffles Relics by E.W. Hornung, dramatised for radio by Alwyn Weimark, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochrane, Bunny Manders. Gudrun Ure played Mrs. Fisher, Peter Forbes, Druce, Terence Edmund, the Colonel, and Matthew Morgan, Beefy. The other boys were Richard Pierce, Nicholas Murchie, and Matthew Sim. The Raffles theme music was composed by Jim Parker, and the sound balance was by Keith Perrin. The Raffles Relics was directed by Gordon House.